Each year we have a theme verse for the year. Last year it was 1 Peter 2:9. This year is 1 Corinthians 4:20. And out of the NIV, we prayed over this for weeks. God would give us direction, and finally, I mean, man, he just banged it. This is the one. So I want to read it to you, and I hope you'll memorize this and have it as a part of your life this year. What we found in the past is that some of these verses that God leads us to at the beginning of the year, we don't quite understand what's going to happen during the year. That verse is going to be very instrumental in for the coming year. So for 2010, 1 Corinthians 4:20, for the kingdom of God is not a matter of talk, but of power. I was listening to a story Vince Gill, the singer, told about his daddy when he was teaching him to drive. And his lesson in driving was, get behind the wheel and let's go to the busiest street that we could get to, 4-lane street. He pulls out and this guy almost runs over him. And his dad, with a few expletives, says, chase him down. And so here's this kid, you know, Vince Gill. He's never driven very much, and 90 miles an hour down a busy intersection. And finally, his daddy, they catch up with him at a light. His daddy jumps out of the car. He says, man, what is happening here? He jumps out of the car, runs around the other side, and he grabs the guy to jerk the guy out of the car. And when he jerks him, and his dad's a big man, when he jerks him out, he realizes the guy has a tire iron in his hand. And he looks, and his dad looks at the guy. The guy's a smaller fellow, but he looks at him and he says, do you plan to use that tire iron in this fight? And he said, yes. And his dad turned around, got back in the car and said, let's go, son. Now, that was a confrontation between talk and power, right? You can do a lot of this. But the bottom line is, can you back it up? It ain't bragging if you can do it. But can you do it? Every time. Under any circumstances. No matter what comes. Can you do it? Whatever it is. My answer to every one of us is, no, you can't. Not every time. Not under all circumstances. There'll come a time when you can't do it, whatever it is. I was trying to encourage Logan back a couple of years ago. Take a difficult class in school. And I said, son, if it's any consolation, just know that today you could probably devise a test that your teacher couldn't pass. You think about it. Who does have the power to do it every single time? That's right. Let's pray together. Lord, I thank you for this day. I thank you for all the ways you've already spoken to us today. And I ask you, Lord, that you'll speak to us through your word. Your word is powerful. It's sharper than a two-edged sword. It divides. It cuts deep. I ask you, Lord, that you'll come today with your word, with power to speak to us. We love you, Jesus. And we know as we pray this prayer and ask you to speak to us that you always have our best interest at heart. You want the best, the most, the greatest for all of us. Holy Spirit, you're welcome now. Come. Come in this place. In Jesus' name. Amen. Now, over the next several weeks, we're going to look at several parts of this verse, several things that come up in it. But today I want to introduce it to you. It talks about the kingdom. The kingdom of God. God's eternal purposes. His kingdom work that drags together what He's doing in the church. It drags together what He's been doing in Israel with His chosen people. It puts together all of His desires, all of His work for all eternity, His kingdom. The kingdom of God. And He's defining the representation or the revelation of that kingdom on the earth here in this verse. Now, I want you to know today that the kingdom of God is on the move in the earth today. Right now, God's kingdom is advancing. Now, how can I say that? How do you know that, Dusty? Well, because I see the stark contrast of a world mired in uncertainty. And it's like the it's gone dark over here so that the bright light can shine over here. Now, if you don't think there's uncertainty going on, then you've been living under a rock somewhere. You're not dealing with reality. There's uncertainty in the financial markets. Read an article of one of the hedge fund gurus. Some of you may have read it over the weekend. This guy's come out and his basic warning to Americans and our economy is, you better watch depending on China to be the panacea of everything. Loaning you money and producing cheap goods. He said, and his point was, you know, well, what if China can't sell all that stuff that they're making? Which, by the way, you know, Chinese economy over the last several decades has just transformed. They've taken all these people that have come in off the farm out of rural lifestyle that they have been living in from creation, and they've come to the cities now and have taken jobs, and they're not going back to the farm. What are you going to do with all those people? How are you going to feed them? How's it going to work? I'm saying to you, as we look at the kingdom of God, it gives us pause as we think about all the stuff that we think we have control over. And we don't. There's a lot of uncertainty. Can we see the kingdom of God advancing in places in the world? I realized this as I was preparing and praying through this message. Do you know where the kingdom of God, there's a commonality to the places where the kingdom of God is advancing in our world today? You know what the common denominator is? Well, it is a third world that you might say that. But there's something even more basic than that. The kingdom of God is advancing everywhere where people are humbling themselves before God and realizing that He's God and we're not. Because What have Americans thought for a lot of time? Oh, we'll just write a check. We'll buy our way out of everything. Or we've got the most powerful military in the world. We're the only superpower now. But we can't seem to find Osama bin Laden with all of our technology. And I know you probably have all sorts of opinions about that. Bottom line is, we hadn't found him with all the technology that we have. You know, the Bible speaks about the kingdom of God advancing. The Bible speaks about the times in which we're living. Now, I don't know when Jesus is coming back. But you know what? It's closer today than it was yesterday. And there are more things that I see in this book that fit. Now, I have some pretty stout opinions. Not going to go into all those today about my interpretations about these things, about some things that God is doing that has never been done. I mean, one of the biggest things in our time, I've said this to y'all many times before, that is true today that's never been true before, that, you know, we just celebrated 60th anniversary of the nation of Israel coming into existence. Those who were not a people became a people again, and Jews are going back to that place, just like the Scripture says they would. I mean, some of them are just waking up in the middle of the night. There's signs and wonders that are taking place amongst Jews all over the earth. Russian Jews, Jews in formerly Eastern Bloc niche, Jews, a few in the United States. But most of the signs and wonders that are taking place amongst them are happening outside of these shores. That'll tell us something. But God is on the move. His kingdom is on the move. It's advancing. You look at some of the political alliances that are today, that the Scripture talks about, that have never existed before now. Some political and military alliances. It's phenomenal. Look at what's happening with believers in places throughout the world. As God is working and He's moving, the kingdom of God is advancing in the earth. And if you don't believe it's advancing, all you have to do is listen to the diatribes of some people that are against the kingdom of God. Right? Listen to, you know, I come back to this guy. He's a good whipping boy to go back to again and again. But Mahmoud Ahmadinejad. I mean, a guy who hates you and me, who wants you dead, who has put to death many people in his own country of Iran. And you look at what he has to say about Christians and Jews. Gone. He's concerned. He's concerned about the advance of the kingdom of God. Now, secondly, kingdom of God is not a matter of talk. Secondly, God is not a trash talker. I love football. I love to watch it. I gain great enjoyment from watching those contests. It's an enjoyable thing. But what I don't like is after a play, come up here, Bryony. Is this, you know, that trash talk that. Thank you. I just ask you really to stand up so I could see how much candy you had under there. Thank you. Somebody left Miss Jerry some candy and I stole it, opened it, and ate it. I didn't know it was hers, though. Here, Bryony, I'll give it back to you. God's not a trash talker. Because you see, talk is cheap. When God speaks, what happens? Whatever He says happens. How did the world come into existence? He spoke it. Wouldn't you like to have that ability with your children? To speak obedience into existence and compliance and good grades? Wouldn't that be a great thing? But see, the Creator, the founder of the universe, the one who spun it all into existence in six days, and rested on the seventh. He did it, and I know that He did it because He's God. And He's either all that He said that He was, or He's not. One or the other. He's God. He can speak things into existence. That's the most wonderful thing. But you know, the change that I see that happens is when I see a person who listens to God speaking to them and speaking His love and receives Jesus into his life, and God speaks into their life and salvation comes to them in their lives. Change immediately. There's a heavenly and eternal transaction that takes place, and the blood of Jesus and the power of His resurrection immediately are applied to a person. So for God, it's not just a matter of cheap talk. When He speaks His word, His word and action are the same. The same. You see, words can be deceitful, can't they? Have you been keeping up with some of our congressmen on both sides of the aisle? And I'm not going to pick on either party here today because there's too much raw meat out today. But if you listen to some of our congressmen that are deciding not to run for re-election, and it is amazing, and it's both sides of the aisle that this has been going on. You go back far enough, you get everybody in there. But here their words are catching up with them. And the fallow promises that they made that are empty, and the lies, and they just can't dodge. You know, after a while, they're cornered. He's not retiring. He knows that he is going to get his fanny whipped in the midterm election. He or she or whoever. But words, talk is cheap. But you know what? I don't have to look at the congressman to know that talk is cheap. I shaved this face this morning that I look at, and I have enough examples in my own life to know that talk is cheap. How about you? Just like that kid years ago that said, pardon me, Pam, his hand was in the lady's purse, and then the hand of God reached out and clutched his arm, and he said, "No, I wasn't stealing anything." Talk is cheap, isn't it? Third. The power of God. The kingdom of God is not about talk, mere talk, but of power. What kind of power are we talking about? Power to do anything. The power to raise the dead. The power to make the blind to see, the lame to walk, the power to provide for our needs, the power for us to thrive when everybody else is just getting by, the power to come into a person's life and change their life and change their whole family. The power to change world history. It's the power of God. The power not only to save us, but to keep us for eternity. When I gave my life to Jesus, it wasn't so circumstance could snatch me out of his hand. I gave my life to someone who said, I will be with you
always,
even unto the end of the age. That's power. That's the power of God. So, what is God's power attracted to? When you see God's power attracted to something, coming into an area, what's he attracted to with his power? He's attracted to faith. You know what happens in third world countries? You know what happens in some of these places where people are humbling themselves before God? They've exhausted all the stuff they can do. And they realize they need a miracle. You see, we need the same miracle. We just haven't exhausted our supply yet. God's power is attracted to obedience. Obeying God no matter what. Being in compliance with him and his will. God's power is attracted to humility. Humbling yourself before God. And God's power is attracted to risk in his name. We're going to be talking about that over the next several weeks. We'll close with a story from the Exodus. You can go back and read it later on today, because I'm going to read various verses from the 14th chapter of Exodus. Pharaoh has had enough. And he has said, you can go, all of you. Scripture says there were 600,000 men that went. You do the math, we're looking at probably 2 million people at least. That there were other estimates go up from there. It's a lot of people. They're in captivity down in Egypt. Remember Charlton Heston? All right. Jog some of your memory there. So you got me. Now, they've left. God comes and sovereignly, I don't understand that he hardens the heart of Pharaoh. Pharaoh says, what have I done? My workforce, I've just let them go. So he assembles his army and he chases them into the wilderness. They're there at the Red Sea. Remember the story? Here's the Red Sea on one side and Pharaoh's army coming on the other side. Now God provides that protective barrier there between them. And he keeps Pharaoh's armies back. People start coming to Moses saying this. Is it because there were no graves in Egypt that you've taken us away to die in the wilderness? Now these are people that have seen the hand of God. They have seen the power of God. They have seen him work over and over and over again. And yet now they come to this place and they think they're going to die. That God has left them there. Even with that protective barrier that is there. But Moses said to the people, Do not fear, stand by and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will accomplish for you today. For the Egyptians whom you have seen today, you will never see them again forever. The Lord will fight for you while you keep silent. Now here's a part of this that I had never seen until I read this week. Then the Lord said to Moses, "Why are you crying out to me? Tell the sons of Israel to go forward." What did God just say? Talk is cheap, Moses. It's time to get some shoe leather on the banks of the Red Sea, get moving, and I'll take care of everything. And what happened? Now let's read it. As for you, lift up your staff, stretch out your hand over the sea, divide it, and the sons of Israel shall go through the midst of the sea on dry land. And by the way, that this was no little light wind that in ankle-deep water that parted things back. There's no miracle in that. The Scripture talks about a wall of water on each side. I don't know if some of you read this back several months ago, but there's a guy who found a chariot wheel at that place where it might have been one of the Pharaoh's chariots, 600 chariots that are buried in that sea. Then the Egyptians will know that I am the Lord when I am honored through Pharaoh and through his chariots and his horsemen. And the angel of God who had been going before the camp of Israel moved and went behind them. Pillar of cloud moved from before them and stood behind them. So it came between the camp of Egypt and the camp of Israel. And there was the cloud along with the darkness, yet it gave light at night. Thus the one who did not come near the other all night. The Lord said to Moses, "Stretch out your hand over the sea." And he did. And the people walked on dry land. And when he got to the other side, God said, "Stretch it out again." And all the king's horses and all the king's men perished. For the kingdom of God is not a matter of talk, but of power. If God can do that, what might he do for you in 2010? Are you living out the kingdom power of God? Is he attracted to your life by your faith, by your obedience, by your humility, by your risk? Maybe it's time to stop doing this and start going forward. Even though you don't know what is out there, who has gone before you? Maybe it's time to start living the life God has called you to live. Maybe 2010 could be the year that finally your talk and your actions start to match. What about it? How's that going to happen in your life? Well, let me tell you, it's not going to happen by continuing just like you are. That's ultimate insanity. To keep doing the same thing and expect a different result. Why not let there be an invasion of the power of God? What's keeping His power back from you? Is it disobedience? Is it lack of faith? Maybe you're not willing to risk. What's God calling you to do with your life? Lord, in our world and on our world's calendar, it's a brand new year. As we stare in the face of all the things that we have before us, God, I'm asking you today that we could see your power and the people around us could see your power in our lives. Lord, there are people around us who are dying and going to hell. There are people whose lives are they're suffering, Lord. And they need us. God, they need the bridge of Jesus to come right where they are. They need your power. This city needs your power. Lord, the poverty that is here. Lord, people need you to come into their lives. Lord, the barriers that exist between groups of people, God, we're asking you to throw those down by your power. God, we're asking you for Savannah, Georgia to receive the power of God. Lord, I know today you're not attracted to how smart we are, how many degrees we have, what kind of job we have, how much money. But you are attracted to our faith and obedience, to our humility, and to our willingness to take a risk in your name. So Lord, come. Lord, as we open the altar today, God, we invite the church, the body of Jesus, the visible body of Jesus on this earth to respond. Respond in faith. Come, Lord. Come. God, in the midst of a world of uncertainty, we are not uncertain people. We have the certainty of your presence and your power. God, come. Come, Holy Spirit. Come this day. The altar's open. People are here to pray with you on the side. And this altar's open to you to come and pray. This is your time.
I'm forgiven because you were forsaken. I'm accepted, you were condemned. I'm alive and well, your spirit lives within me, because you died and rose again. I'm forgiven. Because you were forsaken, I'm accepted, you were condemned. I'm alive and well, your spirit lives within me, because you died and rose again. Amazing love, how can it be that you, my King, would die for me? Amazing love. is my joy to honor you in all I do. I honor you. I'm forgiven because you were forsaken. I'm accepted, you were condemned. I'm alive and well, your spirit lives within me because you died and rose again. Amazing love, how can it be that you, my King, would die for me? Amazing love, I know it's true, and it's my joy to honor you in all I do. I honor you. You are my King. You are my King. Jesus, you amazing love, how can it be that you, my King, would die for me? Amazing love, I know it's true, and it's my joy to honor you in all I do. I honor you in all I do. Stand and sing, I'm forgiven. I'm forgiven because you were forsaken. I'm accepted, you were condemned. I'm alive and well, your spirit lives within me because you died and rose again. I'm forgiven. I'm forgiven because you were forsaken. I'm accepted. You were condemned. I'm alive and well. Your spirit lives within me because you died and rose again. Amazing love. Amazing love. How can it be that you, my King, would die for me? Amazing love, I know it's true, and it's my joy to honor you. Amazing love, how can it be that you, my King, would die for me? Amazing love, I know it's true. It's my joy to honor you in all I do. I honor you in all I do. I honor you.
If you would look this way here, and Big Dog, tell us
He's got a lot of names. This Jason Terry Rockwell, and you've made a big move in your life beginning this year.
Yeah, Friday was my last day at Hargray. I've been there almost 10 years, and God's been moving my heart just to help people more in some shape or form or fashion, and I've just taken a huge leap of faith and going into the financial industry. Go figure, right? I almost did it 8 years ago, and I didn't. And thank you, God, I didn't, because the timing was horrible and it wasn't right for me personally. But now it's just it's a leap of faith, and I'm off to Jacksonville this afternoon for 4 days, and then back for three. Back to Jacksonville, and back to Jacksonville the week after that. So just want to ask Dusty to pray for us and send me out. And it's a brand new career, and I'm excited for it, though.
What you were talking about, he's putting his talk to the walk now and taking a risk.
Well, let's pray. If you want to come lay hands on Jason, come do that right now. Got a verse to read?
Yeah, it was after they'd fasted and prayed, they placed their hands on them and sent them off. That's when the Holy Spirit calls Saul and Barnabas to go and minister. And so that's what we know he's called us to. It's a new ministry. It's under the form of a job, but it's a new ministry.
We anoint you, our brother, in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and we send you out in the power of God. Not cheap talk, but kingdom power. God's power. And God, I'm asking that you would provide for this family in this time. And we pray your blessings on Jason as he goes, God. And I pray you will bless his business in your name and in your power. We thank you. Amen.
Amen.
Now before you leave, is anyone else here that would like to have a blessing prayed over your business and your job? Would you put your hand up? Let me see. Okay. Yeah. All right. All right. Anybody got two hands up? Okay. All right. Here we go. All right. So let's pray. Let's agree in prayer. Lord, you spoke through my wife back before Christmas to me several times as she quoted David Fennell, and she said, God has not called us just to survive, but to thrive in his name. And I'm praying that blessing over this body. And Lord, I'm praying your definition of thriving.
Amen.
Not mine. Do we agree in prayer?
Amen.
Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Pressed down, shaken together, and running over.
One more thing before you go. If you've not given us your card yet, or you have an offering to bring, you can bring it on up. God bless you. We send you out.